Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Welcome to our third Edu All-Stars Podcast. We are excited to have y'all here. My name is Todd Nesloni. On Twitter, I'm known as Tech Ninja Todd.
And my name is Stacy Huffine, a.k.a. Tech Ninja Stacy on Twitter.
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at I am Kessler, and Kessler has one S in it.
And our guest today for our third episode is Mr. Jimmy Casas. Jimmy, you want to introduce yourself?
Yep, my name is Jimmy Casas. I'm a high school principal in Iowa. This is going to be starting my 20th year as a school administrator. And my handle is Casas_Jimmy, and I'm honored to be here with you three EduStars here tonight.
Well, Jimmy, we are excited to have you here. And just to learn a little bit more about you and kind of your background and what you're passionate about now. So I guess to start off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about you and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll first usually tell people, though people understand, is I was not a very good student in school. Actually, I was one of those students you would consider a reluctant learner, perhaps an apathetic student in school. So I didn't have a very successful high school experience, to be honest with you. In fact, I didn't have a very successful middle school experience either. So I was never a big fan of education, but I always liked to work. My parents taught me and raised me to have a very strong work ethic. They were very caring and empathetic people, and really, as kids, modeled for us the importance of always having people around us. So it was always a big, large Latino family, so it was a lot of community. And so from a very early stage, I felt like I had really good role models in that arena. Obviously, they were a little disappointed because I wasn't as eager about school as they would have liked to for me to have been. Bottom line is I didn't do very well in high school. My only options at that point was to go to a junior college, which I did. Went there for a year, quite frankly, still wanted to go to work. And then basically ended up going to the University of Iowa because my parents pushed me and encouraged me to go there. Dropped out after about 2 weeks, although I didn't tell them. That was probably not a very good idea. And pretended to go to school for about an entire semester when I really wasn't. And then when the semester ended, kind of had the coming to Jesus moment and had to tell them that I really hadn't been going to school. So they were very disappointed in me, but yet encouraged me to continue to hang in there and try again. And I didn't want to, so I tried again, went back to school. This time I actually made it for about 3 weeks before I quit again and left school. And finally, I think at that point, they recognized that school just wasn't for me. So I decided to go into work. I worked for a year as a salesman for an insurance company. Did very, very well and did that for an entire year. And there was an incident that happened where one of my mentors was released from his job. And at that moment, I kind of realized that, you know, I didn't want that happening to me someday and not having an education. So I decided to go back to school. Went back and got a degree in Spanish at that time, and then when I finished, I actually had an interest initially to go into the FBI. So they encouraged me to go back to school and get a master's degree and continue on with my schooling while I pursued the FBI. So that's originally how it started. And during that time, I decided to go back. I was working and volunteered at an elementary school. Fell in love with the ESL program that was there, so decided to go back to school and get my master's in teaching certification in Spanish. I did that for a couple years, and in the very end, did not make it into the FBI, and at that point, went into the education field. So I started my career in Milwaukee Public Schools, and that's how I fell into education. Started as a part-time volunteer, ended up as a full-time volunteer, and really just fell in love with teaching with kids.
Wow.
Right.
There's a whole lot more to it, but I'm going to leave most of that out. It's a journey, so that's the Reader's Digest version.
Other than the push from the FBI, you know, going back and you know, getting more education, were there any teachers in your life or anybody else that really influenced you?
Absolutely. Actually, when I was in high school, I still talk about this, and I blogged about him a couple times. My assistant principal, his name was Kelly Morgan at the time, really was probably the first adult, at least in the middle school to high school phase. I had some good mentors in my elementary years. I was actually a pretty good student in my elementary days, but somewhere along the middle school years, I kind of lost my way. In high school, I was a good kid, but I just wasn't focused. I was certainly not involved in school at all in any capacity in terms of my academics. I did play a lot of sports, but as far as academics, I wasn't interested in that at all. My assistant principal actually took a lot of time for me. He was the first person who kind of believed in me, kind of role modeled for me, served as a father figure for me at school. Always seemed to have a kind word to say, or always took time to listen to me and talk to me, and went out of his way to search me out. So he was certainly a strong mentor. I certainly, like a lot of people, had a lot of other adult mentors in my life, not only people in the community, but also people that I worked with in other facets. But I would say that experience at the elementary level during that time was something that just really resonated with me. I had just a great experience. And in fact, I started kind of getting torn between, should I go into education or go into the FBI? So in a way, I was kind of glad that it happened for me that way. Because like I said, I knew that I felt like I had some skills to do that and really enjoyed it and had a strong passion for working with others and trying to make my parents proud at the same time, because I think they were kind of disappointed in me. But honestly, I just lost confidence in school. And at some point I was able to regain that. And once I regained that and found I was committed to school and really liked it, then I just, at that time, I felt like I just kind of blossomed.
Now, where did the FBI stuff come from?
Actually, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a police officer. And so that was kind of cool there. And when I was in school, when I went back and kind of finally got motivated to go to school, I started, you know, doing well in school. But there was always a part of me a little bit tugging about, well, what am I going to do and where am I going to go? You have to understand it was hard at that time. I wasn't able to get into the College of Education as an undergrad student because I didn't have the GPA because I had failed my entire first year of college. And so I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Even though I kind of liked the education, I couldn't get into the College of Education. So when I graduated with a degree in Spanish, I was going through and I saw the gentleman at a career fair for FBI, and I thought, hey, that's kind of cool. That's kind of what I wanted to do. And this is kind of at a higher level with the government in that sense. So that's kind of why I went that route. And that actually went really well for 2 years, and they really liked me, and I did really well in everything. I just failed my physical at the end, which is kind of hard to believe. But the physical I failed was my eyesight. Over the 2 years, my eyes got worse, and I couldn't get in because of my eyes, which is kind of interesting since all the people that I worked with all had contacts or glasses. They really rooted for me. It was difficult because, you know, you feel like you become a family with those people because for 2 years they're with you all the time. I ended up taking about 13 exams. So it was a really good experience for me, and I grew up a lot. But when I look back on those days, I've actually since then had LASIK. So people always ask me again, try to go back into the FBI. But I feel like I found my calling, so I'm fine right where I'm at. So.
Right.
Or have you?
I don't know. Well, it served me well as an associate principal.
I was going to say, does it ever make your staff nervous to know?
No, I did a lot of investigations as an assistant principal, so I think all that information and the experience came in handy at some
Maybe
point.
He's undercover.
Yes. My kids always thought that when I was in high school. They thought I was an undercover.
Well, Chris, you want to take the next question?
Yeah, definitely. So you sound like the Latino version of me.
There you go.
So I had
we'll have to sit, Chris, and talk sometime and swap stories because I'm sure.
I mean, I definitely had a similar experience in middle school and high school and early college where it was just, like you said, lost confidence and all that. Unfortunately, it's still haunting me now. I'm applying to grad school right now, and I'm like, oh, man, that GPA.
Come back and get you.
I mean, that was 15 years ago, you know? So,
I know. It's funny.
Anyway, but honestly, I think that makes us better leaders because – you know, we really can see those kids in the back of the classroom that were like us, and we can really kind of handpick those kids out, and I think it's really cool that way. So, next question I want to talk about is, you know, you won the Iowa High School Principal of the Year. So how did that kind of come about, and what have you done with that?
Well, I don't know how it kind of came about. Honestly, it was kind of a little embarrassing for me because, you know, the bottom line is when you go into this profession, you go into teaching, you go into administration, your focus is on, you know, what can I do to best impact kids? And there are a lot of really, really talented people. You know that, I know that, everywhere you go, there are certainly people doing great things in every school. There are teachers in every classroom doing really wonderful things. And, you know, we go in there with the idea is, look, I just want to work with kids. That's all I really want to do. And then as I became a teacher and then had a desire and was pushed kind of, or encouraged, I should say, to go into administration, then you feel like, hey, maybe I have some talents or maybe I can do something because somebody else recognizes something in me. And, you know, that's a great feeling when your peers look at you and say, you have the skills and you have the talents and we believe that you would be really good in this position or whatever happens to be the case. So the principal of the year kind of fell in the same way. I had some people who just felt, you know, I was doing some good things in my school and was, you know, out there trying to, and honestly, I think a lot of it came because I've always networked really well. I've always tried to, I love meeting people. I love reaching out. I love serving other people. That's always kind of been my mindset. So I think a lot of it just kind of started from there where other people said, hey, you know what, this guy's helped me. Hey, this guy's helped me. He's willing to share with us. He's willing to share with me. So, because my feeling is I'm a big believer in public education. So whether it's your school or my school or a school in California or it's a, I just believe, you know, that we need the best teachers today in our classrooms to help our kids. That's the bottom line. And I don't care where it's happening. And so I have a great passion for that and serving people. So I think it just kind of came about that way. And then when I went for the interview, you know, I just felt, you know, very confident. And I just basically told my story, just kind of like I'm telling it now, and then shared what our school is doing. But you know how it is. The bottom line is, as a principal, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, and we all know that. And I have a great administrative team, and honestly, they are the ones, honestly, that do most of the work. I tell people all the time, I'm kind of like the mayor. I go around and shake hands. I smile a lot. they do the work. You know, they're the frontline people. And then through the hiring process, if you can find the right people and you can find the right teachers and you can recognize what their talents are and put them in positions to be successful and then support them and encourage them, you know how it is. Great things can happen. And so just fortunate to be, you know, work in a school and in a community that really values its education, cares about its kids. We have a great school board, just support from everywhere. So it was kind of like, I just kind of fell into it, to be honest with you. And then I won the state award. And one of the things I kept telling them is, you know, as a state, I had a vision, not just for my school community, but how do we build community in our state? How do we build community in our country? You know, how do we make education a prestigious a profession where people want to be educators? And so I think it's all of our responsibility to promote our profession and to advocate for our profession and be out there, you know, sharing with people what we're doing and the types of things that we are doing, how it's impacting kids. So we just have, we bring more respect to our profession. So, you know, it's like anything else. Who's the who's going to champion those things, right? And if you can find the right people and we can go out there and champion it together, what a great thing to do for our community. And so that's kind of what I share with our state, and that was our vision. It was basically on a mentoring vision and how we could mentor other people and continue to build capacity, and especially in terms of leadership. And so got fortunate enough to do that, and then interviewed for the National Principal of the Year and was selected to be a top three finalist for that.
Saw that. Congratulations. Yeah.
Got a chance to go out to Washington, D.C., and that was a great experience. And David Ryan, the other finalist, along with Trevor Green, who ended up winning our National Principal of the Year, were so deserving. And honestly, I felt like, why am I even here? I mean, their schools are unbelievable, and the things they've done and their demographics and the things they've been able to do with their kids and their community and their staff, it was just, honestly, it was humbling. But I learned a lot from the experience. And so,
out of curiosity, what states were for those guys from?
Yeah, New Hampshire. David Ryan was from New Hampshire. Trevor Green was from the state of Washington. Just what they've been able to do with their schools, I'm just sitting there thinking, why am I even here? Why am I here, right? Because you're seeing what these people are doing, and it's amazing when you get out and about around the country what types of things are happening in schools all over the place that are just amazing things going on. And we need to take time to figure out ways, and this is what I love about Twitter, how do we network people and bring people together and share and learn from one another, because everybody's got really good things going on. So it was a great experience for them.
And you led perfect into the next thing I was going to ask you about is, I mean, this conversation leads itself great to Twitter. And so how long have you been on Twitter? When did you get started?
Mm-hmm. I'm like a lot of people. I've heard the story a lot. I've been on Twitter now for about a year and a half, but honestly, I was actually on Twitter for the first time 2 years ago. Actually would have been 2 years ago this spring, and had no idea what it was, had no idea how to use it. Somebody gave me an account. I didn't touch it for 6 months. I didn't understand it, didn't really see an interest in or a purpose in it. So I kind of let it go for about 6 months, maybe 7 or 8 months actually. And then over the holiday, I just happened to be home. I was talking to my kids. I said to my daughter, okay, I kind of feel like I need to do something with this Twitter stuff. I've heard enough about it. Show me how to use it. How do I get into it? I think I have an account, actually, I told her. And so I had a friend, a colleague here, who had started an account for me, actually opened up an account for me. And so I just started kind of playing with it over the holiday break about a year and a half ago. And once I kind of got started on it and kind of understood, I kind of, like anybody else, I just kind of followed for a while. I didn't do a whole lot of activity. I certainly didn't tweet out, because like other people say, who wants to know what I have to say? I don't know what to say. I don't have anything profound to say. And I'm just going to use it as a learning tool. So I would grab resources off it. And then I remember I did my first chat or joined it or jumped in was SatChat, and then, you know, and PT Chat. So those were the first two chats I jumped in, and then people like Joe Mazza and Brad Curry and Scott Rocco, they were like would retweet something I said or ask me a question, or I thought, wow, why do these people care what I have to say, you know? And that's just kind of how it started. And like anything else, you get a little bit of confidence. People welcomed me. People were very kind to me. They encouraged me and then began to, you know, they basically inspired me and thought, well, maybe I can do this a little bit more. And then I got more excited about it. And then I would join more chats. I'd jump into state chats. And then that's just kind of how it went, and did that and started meeting different people through the chats. And there went the momentum and got excited about it. And next thing you know, like I'm in Twitter heaven or something. I don't know.
So. And you're doing the Iowa Ed Chat. How did that come about?
Yeah, that came about, again, because, you know, as you're doing all these different chats, you're like, you know, I kind of thought back to my principals, the state principal award, and I'm thinking, well, I you know, had told them that these are the things I would do, and I couldn't really find an avenue how to do that. I already did it individually, you know, either working with administrators and clinicals or reaching out to new administrators or being available and supportive. But I wanted to do something greater at a larger level, so I had actually hired an assistant principal. His name is Matt Degner. And Matt actually is the one who kind of, you know, kind of inspired me more in terms of technology, that I could do more with what I had, because I just didn't understand it. He was very good at it, and we just hired him, a young guy who just took a principal job. He was my associate principal, and I just lost him, and I was to a principalship. But, you know, he kind of inspired me, and next thing I know, I'm thinking, like, how can we do this at a greater scale? And so we had had Scott McCloud in about a year before that, and I reached out to Scott, and I said, hey, Scott, I'd really like to do a chat or an ed camp. All these different things were coming on board, and Trace Pickering, there's some guys in Iowa that are really just doing some really great things. And so I said, we could start a chat. Let's just do our own chat. And so we got together with him and Aaron Becker, the other guy that does it with us. I had seen Aaron on different chats that we were involved in together. And we were like, hey, we could do this. I reached out to him because he was in a different school district, and yet from Iowa, and I knew him from other chats. And so the three of us just decided that, you know, well, how can we continue to support administrators and teachers and public education in general throughout the state of Iowa and even beyond, for two reasons. One, how can we bring the people in to see what Iowa's doing? But at the same time, how could we take Iowans out and see what's going on across the country? And so we just had a lot of great support.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, so we've just had a lot of great support in that, and so and that's just been a blast, to be honest with you. It's been a lot of fun.
Have you noticed more out-of-state people following and chiming in on the chat?
Yeah, and that's always kind of cool. I mean, we have a lot of people from out-of-state, and I think part of that's because I think we try to, you know, jump into other people's state chats, and as they've kind of, you notice they've kind of increased a lot, right? There's more and more and more mm-hmm. kind of starting up, and as you get more, it is kind of hard to do all the chats. So now I kind of feel I'm either jumping in and out quick or saying, hey, this week I'm going to do Alabama chat. Next week I'm going to do Arkansas chat. I'm going to do California chat, you know, and Rhode Island I've done. That was one of the original ones, state chats I was actually doing, the ones out on the East Coast. So I still try to stay involved as much as I can because, number one, I feel an obligation to our profession. I feel an obligation to our I kind of consider them friends, so I want to connect with them, and I want to share out what we're doing, and I also want to learn from them. So,
are you as much a chat addict as Todd is?
probably not, but I do try to, again, I think part of it is, you know how it is a lot of us get on Twitter because for me, for two reasons, did I want to get networked? Yes, but I wanted to get networked because I was trying to figure out how can, number one, who's helping me get better? How can I improve as a principal, number one? Number two, if I improve as a principal, what can I learn then I can take back to my school and help our kids and help our teachers and provide the resources? If I'm going to be an instructional leader, I need to have access to as many different types of resources that I can have access to. And so that's actually my drive, is how could I get better to try to help our community and try to help our school and try to impact kids in a greater way. So.
And, you know, I think we easily get caught up in our own world, in our own school districts or schools, and I think that's been one of the major things for me about Twitter, too, is that it opens those doors to connect with people from all over the country
The world. And once we started learning more, then I felt an obligation to share more back out, right? I wanted to share my kids with our Twitter circle. I wanted to share our school. I wanted to share what our teachers were doing. And so at the same time, I want people to see the good things that they're doing. And if everybody's doing that, it's like we're all networking together to support one another. And honestly, and Chris, as you and I just talked about our own schooling, there is something about a sense of confidence. It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence to say, hey, we should be proud of what we're doing. What are we not proud of? Why aren't we sharing what we're doing? We're trying to help other people. I mean, we're, you know, I look at all of us on Twitter, honestly, as servant leaders, because everybody is serving everybody else to help everybody get better. And they're doing it, honestly, not for themselves. They're doing it for other people, either for their kids, their teachers, other people in the district, because everybody, what they learn, what do? They take it and they reshare it out to other people. And that's what's really awesome about what's going on here right now with our social network.
Yeah, I've said this a million times, but the amount of growth that I've had since joining Twitter has just been exponential. I mean, it's
absolutely.
Just, if you're not on, if you're an educator and you're not on Twitter, it's you're just shame on you because you need to get on there. It's just unbelievable opportunity.
That's right.
So I want to kind of get into just kind of things that you're passionate about now. We're in the summertime. You're kind of reflected from last year. You just got back from ISTE. Did you see anything out there that maybe that you're looking forward to doing next year that maybe you have?
There's a guy named Tech Ninja Todd, if you haven't met him. That itself was the whole ISTE experience for me, I'll tell you that right now.
I got to share, because I was telling them, I said, you were the most fun person to meet, because I remember talking to somebody else in the Bloggers Cafe, and this guy I'd never met before jumps in the conversation. He was like, Todd? And I was like, yeah. He's like, come with me. You got to come meet these people. We've been waiting for you. You're coming over here. You're going to come meet all of us.
That's because I was looking for you. I was asking everybody, where's Tech Ninja Todd? Anybody seen Tech Ninja Todd? No, we haven't seen him, but we want to meet him too. And I'm like, well, let's look. And then I look across the room. I go, I think that's him. That's got to be him.
That was my favorite encounter, just meeting you that way and having you jump in. And it was so hilarious.
It was. It was. ISTE was a blast. But to answer your question, I would say, Chris, this is that, you know, just like anybody else along your career path, you know, I've done this for 20 years, and I feel like I've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum. You know, I feel like I've grown all along. I mean, sometimes I think back to some of the things when I first started, I kind of horrify myself a little bit and think, I can't believe I did that to a kid, or I can't believe we did that to our teachers, or whatever happened. Because we're all trying to get better, and we screw it up a lot, and you try to along the way try to figure it out. But I just, it's interesting because I just tweeted out last night that one of the first books I read that really had an impact on me as a leader was Terrence Deal and Leading with Soul, the Bowman and Deal. If you ever had a chance to read that book, but there's another individuals. I think I can't remember. I think I want to say Kuzis and Posner or something like that. Anyway, it's called Leadership Challenge, and Jeff Zoll actually had reminded me about this and shared this out with me. But there are five things, and I went back, and I thought I had seen it before, and I kind of forgot about it, and I went back after he mentioned it to me here, and I went back and reread it, and it was amazing, because when I read that, I thought, oh, my goodness, I feel like, did I read that, and it just influenced me to be the way I was, or am I that way, and I'm kind of like parallel with these guys, right? Because a lot of it's kind of the same stuff, and so it talks about five different things, and then I look at that, well, how does that impact in terms of how I am as a leader? And so it's like model the way is the first thing, and this is their leadership challenge in terms of leadership. It's model the way, and when I think of that, I think about what we talk about all the time in our school and our district is, how do you maintain that standard of excellence? You know, how do you always push to be better, and how do you say, you know what, no, it's unacceptable, we're not going to accept that, we're going to keep getting better, and we're going to challenge ourselves to be the best that we possibly can. And so how do you model that? What does excellence look like, and how do you model that? Inspire shared vision is another part of it, and I see that all the time as a leader. How do we inspire people to have a shared vision? And for me, it's always been it's a no-brainer. It's always about kids. And so how do we look at a student-centered culture where we look at students first? We put that in, and that's all really our motto. Everything as we do is, how do we lead with passion and purpose and pride for our kids? And, you know, the whole idea of championing for kids, and because I know that there were people that championed for us. You know, Chris, at some point, somebody championed you for you. And that's, you know, we've all had those people. Challenge the process. So that's another part of the leadership challenges. You know, we have to challenge the process. And to me, that takes courage. That's leading with courage, right? And it takes a lot of guts and a lot of, you know, you need some grit to be an administrator. There's no doubt about it. And you also need that in any type of leadership role. Enable others to act. So to me, that's kind of the inspiration, how you inspire people. And so can you inspire people to do things that they never thought possible or that they never thought they could do? And then the last thing is kind of, it's encourage the heart, I believe. And so when I think of that, I think of leaders who, like the Terrence deal, leading with soul, leaders that are empathetic, that are focused on building relationships, that are purposeful, that they have a great passion. And honestly, they're community builders. All these five things to me is about building community. You know, how do you become a community builder? And if you do that, all these pieces come into play in part of building community. And so it was just kind of weird how that just kind of all came to surface. But I kind of looked and I thought, oh, that's kind of cool how it just kind of fits in. But that's kind of the framework I use all the time.
Throw the name of those books out one more time, and I'll put that in the show.
Well, the book is called Leadership Challenge. It's called Leadership Challenge. Mm-hmm. And the authors, I believe, are Kouzes. I believe it's spelled, I'm going to say Kouzes. And then I think the other one is Posner, Posner. I think it's Barry Posner.
Cool. I'll put that in the show notes for anyone listening.
Yeah. And the other one's Terrence Deal. It's Leading with Soul. And that was, I mean, that's probably a book that came out probably, I'm going to guess, maybe early 90s, back in, you know, 1990 or so. But it was the first thing that had me think about, because I had always been modeled what? If you think about the 70s and 80s, a lot of leadership styles were about, hey, I'm the principal. Hey, I'm in charge. Hey, it was pretty forceful, right? And that's kind of how it was modeled for me. And so when I first read Terrence's book, I thought, man, he's kind of right. In fact, he spoke at a conference. This is funny. And I ended up having to take him to the airport because he was going back to Milwaukee. And, of course, I'm this little young teacher. I'm like, I'll take him, you know. and I got a chance to talk to him, and he signed a book for me, and I got to meet him, and he talked to me. But just listening to him talk about leadership and about having to lead from the heart, right, and not lead with, you know, with a gavel and, you know, nailing people, but be more empathetic and be more purposeful in relationships. And so that kind of made a lot of sense to me. So,
well, and you know, you're talking about relationship stuff, and last night y'all did the Iowa Ed Chat, and one of the coolest things to me that you talked about was you take your staff members out to meals.
All the
time. I was like, that's awesome. Win them over with food, because that's as teachers like, we always like a free meal. But
yeah, we feed our staff pretty well, I think. I think they would say that for sure about me. So I think they know I like to feed them. So,
well, since our listeners are predominantly educators, what advice do you have for people either looking into getting the education field or teachers looking to step up into an administrative role? Or
I kind of shared this last night too. It's, you know, that you bring that up, but I did say last night, and I'll say it again. I think the thing I would, you know, mainly any advice I'd give to people is find people that are really positive, find people that are student-centered, and surround yourself with really, really good people. And if you can do those things, just the fact, because a couple things. Number one, you're going to learn a ton. Number two, you're always going to be inspired. You're always going to be motivated. You're always going to think you can do more than what you're doing, right? And not only that, because you're around these people, they're going to be people, quite frankly, that you're going to be able to build trust with. And if you can build trust with a group of people like that, then you know one or two things is going to happen. One, you're going to be able to share things and really speak from the heart and not feel like you're going to get judged and not feel like you're not good enough and not feel like you're not doing things well enough, because you're not going to be afraid to put yourself out there because you trust them. And not only that, they trust you as well. And so it's, you know, that's what I would say for anybody going to the profession is there are so many people out there willing to help. All you have to do is ask. And if you do that, there are a lot of people that will reach out and guide you and support you and be there and do everything they can to help. And that's what I love about our profession. I really think that we are one of the most giving professions that there is of all professions.
Right.
I know you and Todd just came back from ISTE. Chris and I were not able to go, but
You're the hashtag.
I did. Uh-huh. For people who don't understand what the experience is all about, you know, what can you tell them, and why should they go to the conferences like these?
I had the same experience at ISTE as I did at NASSP, and I will tell you, I was really proud of our national organization this year when we went out to Washington D.C. Because one of the things is I think they're always trying to figure out how to get better to help support our administrators across the country. And I know that's an organization for principals and secondary principals. But whether it's ISTE or whether it's NASSP or any of these other conferences, and I think Todd nailed it as well in his post, and that is the conferences today have a different flavor and a different feel to them when you go. There is an energy that you cannot describe. And the reason is because it's like there's an anticipation level when you get there. You're excited. You're energized. You not only do you want to go to the sessions, you want to go meet these people that you actually have relationships with now. So now whether you go to a session or don't go to a session or however you handle that, the bottom line is the learning is still taking place because the learning is taken face to face. It's taken learning with other people, whether it's in the conference, at the Bloggers Cafe, out in the hallway, at dinner. It doesn't really make a difference. We should be modeling what we're expecting with our kids, and that is learning takes place anywhere and everywhere at any time. And so to me, these conferences are taking on a different flavor just because of the connections and just because of the relationships and because people are willing to share and take time for each other and take pride in it. And so to me, I will tell you, I agree with Todd, that to me, the last two or three conferences I've gone to, when you go in there, it's just a different energy and it's an awesome feeling and to connect with people and learn from other people.
I think I've gone to TCEA, which is our Texas technology conference, for probably the last 17 years. And each year I tend to go to less and less sessions and do a lot more networking. And I seem to get, I almost get more out of that than going to the sessions.
Well, and Todd will tell you this. I mean, and I know Todd said in his blog, well, I didn't attend any sessions, but that's not true because he did. But the thing is that, like, I went to the Ignite sessions. I went to different sessions. But part of it was I maybe not go to as many as I would. In the past, I would have went by myself. I would have walked in. I would have sat there. I would have taken notes, and I would have walked out. And then I would have come back to my building at some point, went through my notes. Is there anything I can take from this? And quite frankly, a lot of it, either I would have had to generate myself through self-motivation or nothing would have happened with it. And so, you know, the ISTE, you know I went to sessions and tried to get into a couple sessions that were completely closed. So there are people going to the sessions. But I'll tell you, it's a lot different when I can go in there into an Ignite session and get jacked up before Todd even takes the stage because I'm excited about what he has to say. Right? It's pretty cool. I was disappointed that I wasn't going to get to see Aaron Klein session. I was disappointed I wasn't going to see Adam Bello's session, because I wasn't going to be there for it. But I will tell you, I would have went, and I would have went because I knew these people and I wanted to hear what they had to say because they inspired me, you know?
So how did Todd do?
Todd did great, and that's what Todd, he did wonderful. He did awesome.
Well, you know that's...
And it's funny because I think most speakers still get nervous before they go on. It's like, I don't think I'm worthy. How can I sit here and talk to these people that I think know more than I do? But the reality is we all have what we're really, really good at. We all have our strengths, we all have our talents, and we also yet are humble enough and recognize that we can still learn from other people. We don't think we know everything, that we can't learn something from Todd, or I can't learn something from Chris, or I can't learn from Stacy or Aaron or whoever happens to be the case, because we can. But we also have something to give. And because we all have our own individual unique experiences that we bring to the table that cannot be duplicated by anyone else. You know, we may have stories that are similar. Chris and I may have a similar path, but along that path, it's really it's in the telling the story that you connect and you learn from others and you think, you know what, actually I never quite thought of it from that perspective. And it's amazing what happens when you sit down and talk to people and take time to listen to their stories. And we all know everybody has a story.
Well, and I think you make a great point with you build those relationships online before you get to a conference. And then, like you said, when you see some of your online friends that are doing sessions, like Erin Klein, when I saw that she was doing the Ignite, I walked in just as she was getting up there because I wanted to go and hear what she had to say and support her.
That's right.
Because you build like this family almost on Twitter where you want to go and support them and hear and listen to them. And then afterwards, because you have sort of a relationship with them, you get to talk with them on an even deeper level about that kind of stuff.
Well, I remember tweeting out because even though I wasn't there, I'm watching the tweet and she names her session, "Would you want to be a student in your own classroom?" And it makes you think, because the first thing I thought of, well, heck, would I want to be a teacher in my own building, right? As a principal, I mean, do I want to be in my own building? And so just by her saying one thing makes me think in a different way, and then what am I going to take from that and how am I going to learn from that and how am I going to become a better principal for that?
I think you have a book there, right? Do I want to be a leadership book? Do I want to be a teacher in my own building?
There you go.
So that's all the kind of the formal questions we had. Anything else you kind of wanted to share? Maybe if you could share out your contact information and maybe throw what time your Iowa EdChat is and that kind of thing.
Sure, actually I will. Again, my name is Jimmy, and my Twitter handle is Casas. It's spelled C-A-S-A-S, like me casa, su casa, but it has an S on the end. So Casas underscore Jimmy. Yes, we do Iowa Ed Chat every Sunday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. That is myself, Matt Degner, and he is at M.W. Degner, D-E-G-N-E-R. And then we have and he is now a principal in Iowa City at a junior high. And then there's Aaron Becker, and he is Aaron underscore Becker, two A's in Aaron underscore Becker 32. And he is a high school principal in Fairfield, Iowa. And so we'd love people to join us for that. We'll also be doing, Scott McLeod was gracious enough last year when we asked him for help to do an Iowa Ed Camp. Scott had a great idea and said, hey, Jimmy, what if we did two Iowa Ed Camps on the same day in two different locations across the state? I said, absolutely, let's do this. So we worked together, organized, and on the same day on two different locations in the state of Iowa, we did Iowa Ed Camp. And so this year we're actually going to do Iowa Ed Camp in four places and maybe wow. even five. So we're going to take each corner of the state and maybe the central state of Iowa, and we're going to do that on March 5th. So we'll be running Iowa Ed Camp on March 5th. So that way, if you're a neighboring state, you can cross the border and just maybe go a couple hours or an hour or whatever and get into Iowa Ed Camps.
That's a really creative idea. I've never heard of just doing five all on the same day in the same state. I love
because
that.
Because you know how it is. If you have a big state, it's tough to travel 4 or 5 hours to go to it. But you know
Texas.
What? If you did, 12 hours, 15 hours. Hey, don't you know? You give me flashbacks, Stacey. All my family lives in Texas. We used to drive from Iowa to Texas every summer. I'd get to the border and go, "Yes, we're here in Texas," and my parents would look at us and go, "We're not even halfway there yet." And it's hard to understand that as a kid, right? But from the tip of Texas down to the border, man, that's another 14 hours, you know?
Exactly.
So it's kind of crazy. So, but honestly, what I would say is, you know, it's great meeting people, but the bottom line is we always have to continue to remember that it is about the relationships. It's not only about getting, but we also have to be giving back out. We have to be, you know, we can't just be consumers, so we have to model how do we become producers as well. Of our own learning and how do we share back up with others so our profession continues to grow and hopefully grow exponentially at a really, hopefully a quick pace there to continue to promote our wonderful profession that we call teaching. So,
well, Jimmy, we wanted to thank you for being in here with us today. We're excited to have you as our second official guest. I think you had a lot of really great stuff to share. And I think I just had a really blast talking to you. So,
well, thanks. I'm jacked up right now. You got me all fired up. I'm not fond that want to get on a chat right now. Let's keep talking. Keep the conversation going.
Here we got T-Lap starting at 8 o'clock tonight. So
yes, exactly. And I'm reading that book right now. I read about three quarters of it. I almost finished it last night. In one day, I just got so jacked up about it. I mean, I love Dave Burgess and love it. I even tweeted him out. In fact, I direct messaged him. I said, Todd, David is so scary philosophically that we're a lot alike. I said, in fact, I have done that lesson in terms of being shipwrecked and getting teams together. I said, but I have to admit, I never did the plane wreck with it, but I should have done that because flopping around the ground would have been probably pretty cool. So, but it's scary. But no, he's brilliant and love everything he had to say. And I know Hal Roberts down in Texas right now is trying to take the teach like the pirate, you know, philosophy and how do you blend that into administration? How do we do the same thing for administration?
He actually just tweeted me during this saying that you know, he can't wait for T-Lap tonight and talk to some principals about it today. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's pretty jacked up. But I will say this, you know, I meet Todd Adisti for the first time face to face. I was so excited. And watch this. I meet Todd, and I now have two new friends. One is named Stacy, and one is named Chris.
Aww.
Isn't that cool?
Exactly.
It's
the
cool
power
stuff.
Of Twitter and connections.
Absolutely. So God bless all three of you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
That I'm here to serve you. If there's anything I can do in any way, shape, form, capacity, you tell me, I will be there. In fact, I'm going to Kansas City here in a week and a half. You know why? Because Doc Segrist said he wanted to meet me. I said, well, then just say so. I'll drive down it. No problem. Boom, we're there. We're going down. We've got about five people. Kyle Pace is going to be there. Bob Dylan's going to be there. Taking Tom Whitford with us. We're taking a road trip down there.
Oh, cool.
Bill Powers is joining us, I believe, as well. And there's some other people that were kind of disappointed because they're on family vacations. But sometimes you just got to do crazy stuff like that. So I've been to Michigan a couple times to see Ben Gilpin. So let's just road trip. I said, just tell me when, and I'll go. I don't have a problem. Love it. Especially if there's food involved.
Exactly.
So, thank you very much.
And thank you to our listeners this week again. Again, you can find us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ. Our website is www.eduallstars.com. And then you can find our podcast in iTunes. If you just search EDU All Stars with no spaces, you can find our podcast there as well.
And we're planning on having lots of great guests coming up. I think our next two that we're going to try and plan are Jeremy McDonald, who's at Mr. Macnology, and Aaron Klein, who's at Klein Aaron on Twitter.
Awesome.
And then the last thing is, if you made it this far, I hope that you really enjoyed the podcast. If you could go to iTunes and just leave a rating and some feedback, it'd be really appreciated. iTunes ranks their podcast based on ratings and feedback, and we'd love to get out there and get up in the rankings and get more people listening to what we think is a really cool podcast. So really appreciate you listening.